change our hearts and lives, and challenge us to expect great things from your mighty acts of mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, God is love. Hear the good news. In Christ, we are forgiven. Let us live as if we believe it as we sing our response. There's a wideness in God's mercy, verse 2.
Oh, come to a time in our service where we can continue to lift up hallelujahs to God for the good things that God has done. And we can also come together in prayer for those concerns that we may be feeling within ourselves, within our families, or within our community. Are there any prayer concerns to be lifted up in the congregation today?
I'd like to thank, as always, this congregation for praying for my brother Jim in Pennsylvania, but he really needs some prayers now. While he beat the cancer, his gallbladder and heart aren't doing too well, so many prayers are needed. Thank you.
Michael arrived in Ireland this morning. He had a safe flight. He's going to be there for the next 10 weeks, taking a class at Trinity College and doing an internship. So please pray for him for safety while he's there and for us during this time apart.
Indeed. Just ask for friends, prayers from my friend Dawn. She lost her brother yesterday to addiction, basically.
We're happy for a lot of celebrations this week. Our youngest daughter, Dylan, who's upstairs and with the high school group, is graduating tomorrow. And we're very thankful that my parents are in town, Barb and Rick. And I just turned 50.
Woo!
So thanking God for all of those things. And we'd also love prayers for a dear family friend, Steve, who is in a car accident a few days ago, and just pray for healing.
Indeed.
Thank you for your prayers and kind support and concern about Sally Lockhart. She's still in rehab. She's doing better every day. We expect her home, well, hopefully this weekend, next weekend.
Amen.
Oh, and Kevin is shaking his head. They're going to celebrate being together 8 years.
Amen.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my friend Jess. The congregation has heard me ask for prayers for her before, but this is one of my friends who's been struggling with cancer for several years now. And seems like she'd beaten it, but now it's back and it's spread. And so she's, for the first time, it's like I'm hearing in her voice that she's sort of feeling despair. So, and that's just not like her. So anything that we can do to pray for her and lift up her spirits, they're just going to keep going with chemotherapy and treatment and, you know, hope and pray for the best. So prayers for Jess, please.
The kids and I are traveling and backpacking a few days next week, so just prayers that that goes well and safely.
Wishing that we continue to hold the Weber family in our prayers and concerns. Mark is home, and we're blessed that her Susan's brother is in town for the next few days, so there's also additional family support there. And today he's enjoying a day at the Red Sox, so we enjoy that there are moments of levity and joy in the midst of health concerns. Amen.
Foster family would like your prayers as Andrew takes off after the graduation, after Jonick's graduation also on Monday, and Andrew takes off to Australia and Korea for much of this month. So let us pray. Hear the prayers of your people, O Lord, for ourselves, for our world, for places of joy and celebration and blessing, for places of need near and far. We pray for those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, and we respond as a congregation. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray your strength upon those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, and thank you for the strength that you give them through prayers, through people, through words that come at moments when it's most needed. We lift up to you Mark and Sally, for Dan and Janine, for Julie's brother Jim, for the Cooper's friend Steve, for Jess. Strengthen them in these days. O Lord, hear our prayer. We give thanks, O God, for the celebrations in our lives, for the celebration yesterday of the wedding of Ebi and Dan, complete with bird flying around the sanctuary, as they launch this new chapter of their lives and give testimony and witness to how this church had blessed them through their faith journeys. We thank you for the ways that this congregation nurtures faith and relationships as people come and go in these days. We thank you for faithful church school teachers and the nurture team as they meet today to plan for days ahead. We thank you for opportunities to travel to new lands and the willingness of the Ramseys to share those adventures with us. We thank you for graduations and ask your strength for final days of school for students and teachers, for birthdays for Kathy, for Barb and Rick here to help celebrate graduations and birthdays, and for the Casey's 8th anniversary. All of these things we lift to you, Lord. Hear our prayer. As summer beckons, we pray for all who are traveling with new opportunities for rest and recreation, for new horizons and perspectives, for time apart and together, for graduations and celebrations. Guide your people ever in your ways. We lift up to you Michael as he travels, as he is in Ireland for these 10 weeks and this time apart from Abby. For Andrew in his June travels, for the Harrisons backpacking, for all of the comings and goings of these seasons. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our world, for peace and justice, for grace and love to abound in all places, for those people who are in particular pain of these days and grieving. We pray for Ed's friend Dawn and her family. Lord, hear our prayer. Remind us, O God, that we are all your disciples. Keep us rooted in you that we might follow where you alone would lead, in and through the saving love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Psalm 30. That would be in the Pew Bible, page 478, and the Large Print Bible, page 621. Please, Lord, open our minds and our hearts to your word, so that we may live in your light and your unconditional love every day. Amen. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. But you hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Our second reading this morning is from the New Testament, which is in the Pew Bible, page 176, and in the large print Bible, page 228. The reading is from the letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 1, verse 11 through 24. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel was not proclaimed by me, is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the Church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me. But I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stayed with him 15 days, but did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, the one who was formerly persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. morning. Today's lectionary texts point us to the power of being drawn up by God and the importance of knowing that we have indeed been drawn up not by ourselves, not by our will or our personal strengths, but by God alone. But first, I want to ponder on a couple questions that seem pretty basic to why we gather here, but if we don't slow down, we often don't even think to ask. In preparation for the testimonial insights and wisdom of the great poet that is the psalmist and the prophet and our brother and apostle, Paul, the questions are for today. Why even praise God? Why do we praise God is the first question. Why do we do it? Why does it matter? And what difference does it make personally? What difference does it make for you, the relationship that you have with God? So often, too often, particularly in white, reformed, mainline Protestant denominations, we strangely avoid the idea of a personal relationship with Christ in favor of a more global and external understanding of God present in the world. And many times, more conservative and fundamentalist Christian traditions seem to focus solely on the personal, to the detriment of seeing how it is that God is moving in the world. I'm suggesting that both of those stances are broken, that both of them leave out an important aspects of how God is moving, and both of them are limiting. So, because we find ourselves in a mostly white, Protestant, traditional tradition, we're going to look at our own issues, rather than focusing on the issues of groups that we may or may not feel associated with. In other words, we're going to do some reflecting on why an actual personal relationship with God even matters. So, seriously, why do we praise God? Yeah, sure. Amen. Amen. So what she said, for those who might not have heard, is that taking the time to praise God removes the evilness that's around her sometimes. Amen. Did I get that right? It's an action to avert the negativity that's in the space. Any other folks want to share? Yes. To give thanks. Being thankful is so important. Amen. Yes, Andrew. Amen. To keep from taking credit for our own blessings. There are lots of reasons why we praise. Some of them we are probably less likely to name out loud than the lovely ones that were shared today. Sometimes we praise God out of guilt, feeling that if I don't do it, something bad might happen. Sometimes we do it out of expectation. I go to church because everybody in my family has always gone to church. It's true, amen? Some of us do it out of habit. We think we're supposed to, we're expected to. Some of us do it out of transaction. Again, if I do something good, God will do something good for me, right? I mean, that's how it works in the rest of the world. Let me praise you, and maybe you'll send some blessings my way. Some of us come to church out of fear of something bad. If I don't do it, God will be mad at me. God will be angry at me. I will get punished if I don't come to this place. And while I'll be honest, those last few that I've mentioned, I think it's easy for us to see the limitations, right? We can see how those forms of motivation that are external, that are about either give or take or fear, has their limitations. But in reality, it's a part of our story as well, right? And I believe God can even use those and turn them into something good. But I'd like to suggest, along the lines of some of the things that we have brought up, that there might be another way that is far more powerful and transformational as a reason why we praise God. The idea that we, like the psalmist is offering, we praise God because we too have been drawn up. We too have been drawn up from the bleakness of a pit or many pits. Our scripture points to the truth that we authentically respond in praise and gratitude when we recognize that God alone has drawn us up from the pit. You know the pit. We all know the pit. At least most of us will be honest enough to admit that we know the pit. The place that is so far down that only God will go to get us. Amen? The place that is so far down that only God's love is able to hold us and pull us up. Indeed, this despair, this pit, this hole that looks like it has no bottom, well, it feels and it looks and it tastes and it smells differently for each of us, but we each know the pit. We may not always talk about the pit. We may think the pit's way behind us somewhere. But we don't have to live too long in this life before we encounter the pit. You know, the pit, that heartache that won't heal, that fear that won't be quieted, the hopelessness that seems irreparably damaged. You know, the pit of prejudice. You know, the pit of systemic oppression. You know, the pit that scars our very humanity. Like illnesses that swallow us up in their pain and distress. Like addictions that evolve into a downward spiral too slippery to climb out on our own. Like facing the imminent death of a loved one or even ourselves, which leaves us like the actual ground we are standing open has fallen from beneath us and we are in the pit. The pit of grief that unexpectedly smacks us in the face because we see an image that reminds us of something so painful or someone we miss so dearly. It feels like it knocks us backward into abyss where we keep falling and falling and falling and falling. We know what it's like to be in the pit. And many of us know that it is only God who would or could search us out. While God indeed may send people to be messengers of good news, God may indeed send the splendor of nature to inspire us. God may even send our sweet pets to come curl up next to us. It is only God who is sending. It is only God who comes to us in that miry mess of misery. Only God can truly see us in despair because only God has been with us every step of the way. Friends and loved ones will fail us because they are human. God alone is consistent, a provider, and worthy to be praised. The psalmist declares this very truth in the holy poetry that was written. First line, I will exalt you. That is to say, I will lift you up in high praise, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. You, not my own will, you have drawn me up, and you did not let my foes rejoice over me. I love this image of being drawn up. In our individualistic, egocentric, post-enlightenment, post-modern society, The ability to see ourselves not at the agent of improving our own lives is a strong image that the psalmist is offering us to slow down and ponder on this day. The very thought that we are not the mover, but the thing that is moved, that we are not the source of improvement, but the object to be improved, it actually creates a certain cognitive dissonance for many of us. It creates a mental struggle for many of us. When we see an image like this, of a bucket being drawn up, we almost implicitly imagine ourselves as the puller of the rope. Very rarely would we imagine ourselves as the bucket. Very rarely, and even less rarely, would we imagine ourselves as the water. We're afraid. We're afraid of not being the one in control in this picture, amen? And we're afraid of not being the one in control even in our relationships with God. For in our world, we equate control with a power over. We try to avoid being the one who is not in control. We try our best to avoid being without control. But there's a small problem with that. We're not God. We don't always know what's best for our very selves. So we have these huge holes that we tend to build and dig for ourselves. When we try to ignore that there is indeed someone who knows better for us what we need than our instincts tell us. But only God, indeed only God, who has created us and is still recreating us moment by moment, knows the depth of wholeness possible in our lives. Only God, who created us and is recreating us in each moment, knows the depth of healing possible in our lives. Only God, who has created us and is still recreating us, knows the importance of correction and change. Only God, who has created us and is still recreating us, knows the power of restoration and hope that is possible in our lives. That's the reality that the psalmist is inviting us towards when he writes, "O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me from Sheol, from the depths of the earth, the depths of brokenness, literally hell on earth. You brought me from hell on earth, O Lord. You brought my soul from the depths of the pit. You restored me to life from those who had gone down to the pit." Sing praises to the Lord, O faithful ones, is our declaration. It's as if the psalmist went from, "God, I got to tell you how good you've been to me." And then he looks around to his friend and goes, "This is what we're supposed to do. Sing praises to the Lord, O you faithful ones. Give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, by your favor, O Lord, you established me as a strong mountain." And I love that Joe noticed that in different translations, the transition right here is very key. It goes from ours that has nothing. Many of them says, "but when," or "but you hid your face." In other words, the psalmist is saying, when things were great, when I was feeling strong like a mountain, when you made me strong, you healed me, I felt great. I thought I would never change from where I'm at. But when I didn't see you how I wanted you to see you, and when you weren't present how I expected you to be present, I was dismayed. I was dismayed.
When we are without God, we are a mess. Amen? And not only are we a mess, but we tend to make things around us messy. Amen? We are offered a warning through the testimonial of the psalmist. I love that the psalmist is telling you, this isn't a theoretical story. This is my actual story of, I was good. I needed God's healing. God healed me. I thought I was the stuff. I felt great, and as soon as God turned from where I thought God should be standing, what I thought God should be doing, I was dismayed. The psalmist is offering for us a testimonial that says, in that place, our posture does not have to be hunched over in dismay. But because we can recognize that it was indeed God that got us safely to where we're at, we actually have the ability to be praiseful in the midst of the pit. Without a praiseful posture, our prosperity will be all that we look for. We will assume that God is not there when things don't go the way we think. Again, the problem is we are not God. And furthermore, the rules that we think we have in place for God and for others won't be what heals us. The smarts and intelligence that have got us thus far won't be what heals us. The good works that we can accumulate quite quickly won't be what heals us. We must be drawn up by the one who has actually created us, who actually knows our purpose in the world, who was there and knew what we needed from our very first breath, even before when we were yet knit in our mother's womb. Paul acknowledges that having what you think your stuff together isn't all there is to the story. When he writes to the church in Galatia, he tells of his own testimony of thinking he had got stuff right and discovering that he was really wrong. You have heard, no doubt, he writes, of my earlier years of Judaism. I was violently persecuting the Church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced far in Judaism amongst the people that were my same age because I was more zealous in the traditions of my ancestors. But when God had set me apart when I was born, called me by grace, and chose to reveal to me his son, I knew that I was proclaim to the Gentiles. I didn't get this from human beings. I didn't get this by going to Jerusalem, where there were already apostles. Instead, I was sent at once to Arabia, and I returned to Damascus. In other words, Paul is sharing that he thought that he had it all together at one point. He was super pilot. He was on church Monday through Friday and Saturday and Wednesday every day of the week. I had it all together. Super zealous Paul. He had earned every gold star and every merit badge and good badge of honor in his religion. He had done it all. He had checked all the right boxes. But when God, in this certitude, he was making a miry, messy pit of a mess. And it wasn't until he was drawn up by a personal encounter with the God who was revealed through Jesus Christ that everything changed. In a personal relationship, in a personal encounter, in a personal testimony, being drawn up means that you recognize that you aren't changing by yourself. It isn't that you've willed yourself to the day of enlightenment and, hey, I've made it. But God alone has chosen to reveal to you in a way that you can no longer deny. In these personal testimonies of the psalmist and of Paul, we continue to see that there is implications for the community out of the personal experience of the individual. The psalmist had a personal experience, shared it with his community, and therefore shares it with us today. Paul had a personal testimony with Christ and a revelation, shared it with the Galatians, and therefore shares it with us today. We,
as we sit before the bread and the juice, as we stand before the elements that represent Christ's very sacrifice for us, as we take that bread and we dip it in that cup and it personally enters into our body, we become both a personal and a communal testimony to where God is in the world. Amen. God sent prophets that personally drew up people from their sick beds so that communities could quit their sick thinking. God sent Jesus to personally pull people up from their deathbeds to draw the world up from its deathly leaving. When we come to this table, we are drawn up as well. The power of the Holy Spirit individually and personally offers to us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, where pain and crying are no more, where there is indeed enough for every single person to have and to fill themselves with good things. Indeed, as the psalmist said, God has restored us to life. We've been in the pit, and yet by God's grace, we're still here. This is why we praise. Amen? Praise. For me, I don't often answer those rhetorical questions that I asked you all during sermon times, but today I think I will. Why do I praise God? What difference does the relationship with God make? Because I know the pit. I know what's at stake. I know how it feels to be in despair. And I know that the one who lifts me, draws me out of that, is not myself. It is not the stuff that I could ever accumulate in this world. It is the one who loves me before I knew what love was. That is why I sing in my spirit with gratitude the ending of Psalm 31. Because God, you have indeed over and over turned my mourning into dancing. I praise because God, you alone have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. I praise because you haven't allowed my soul to be quieted when there was enough to do so over and over again from a human view. And for the great things that God has done and the ways in which God has drawn each of us up with fortitude, I pray that each of us finds anew, reminds ourselves of where we've been and where God has called us, and how we too have been drawn up, and find anew a way to give praise that changes your mourning into dancing, changes your sackcloth into clothes of joy. Amen.
Please stand as we affirm our faith together using the words which are printed in the bulletin and are up on the screen. We believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who gathers, protects, and cares for the church. We believe the church is one worldwide communion of saints called from the entire human family. We believe the church is the single community of believers, reconciled with God and with one another. We believe that through the work of God's Spirit, unity is a binding force, and also that we must seek this unity, which must become visible to the world. We believe that the sin of division, separation, and hatred between people and groups has been conquered by Christ. We commit ourselves to protecting the unity of the Church Universal. We pledge to make this unity active in all our words, thoughts, and deeds. With all the praise that is in our hearts, Lord, please bless these gifts so that they may further your will on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from north and south and east and west to sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared.
This is indeed the Lord's table. This is not this church's table. This is not my table or your table. This is a table not marked with barriers, but shrouded, covered, enveloped by God's grace. So come those who have much faith and those who have little. Come those who are certain and those who remain in doubt. For indeed, this is the Lord's table. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth, and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit.
We give you thanks that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he were to be betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." In the same way, he took the cup, and likewise, after having given thanks, said, "This is the cup of new covenant, sealed with my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, do it in remembrance of me."
And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we eat and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ,
in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Jesus said, I am the vine. And you are the branches. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Come, for all is ready.
Thank you.
body of Christ broken for you, my sister. Body of Christ broken for you, my sister. I shed for you. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy and eternal God, you are as far away as the distant stars and as close as our breath. You meet us at this table and we discover our hearts burning within us. Remind us that you go with us as we leave this place and allow your light and your life to burn brightly within us for all to see your goodness. Amen.
Amen.
As we leave this place, may we indeed work and pray and live and sing anywhere, anytime, knowing that there is no place that you find yourself that God has not sent you. Leave this place prayerful and aware of who has drawn you up. Amen.
Get some of the background.
Or
The other option would be to put people up front and light up the altar and that.
Yeah, and I think that was the thought from previous on, like, okay. The mic still.
I mean, it might.
But